This is a new intro, hour number two, July 30th, 2008, the Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program, hottest show in the diaspora. Tell me what you think of this. I'm feeling this right here.
We believe in the truth that is in the Bible, but we don't believe in the lies that the white man has put in the Bible. We believe in Allah's prophets and the scriptures they brought to the people. We believe in the resurrection of the dead, not in the physical resurrection, but in mental resurrection. We believe that the so-called Negroes are most in need of mental resurrection. Therefore, they will be resurrected first. We believe in the resurrection of the dead, but not when you're physically dead. When you stop breathing and your heart stop beating and that man stick you in the ground, that's all she wrote. You are not going anywhere. Your soul isn't going anywhere. Your body isn't going anywhere. Nothing is happening after that. When you're dead, you are done. That's it. You can forget it. Then if that's all of it, what about the resurrection? He says that our people are dead. Negroes are dead. Walking zombies. You're the one that the book is talking about who is dead. Dead to the knowledge of yourself. Dead to the knowledge of your own people. Dead to the knowledge of your own God. Dead to the knowledge of the devil. Why, you don't even know who the devil is. You think the devil is someone down inside the ground that's going to burn you after you're dead. Why, the devil is right here on top of this earth.
Do you believe when they say we ain't, we can't grow? All we are is dealers and gangsters and then you believe when they be telling you lie. All on the media, they make the world look crazy to keep you inside. Why you listen when the teachers at school know you a young single parent out struggling? They think you a fool. Give your kids bad grades and put them in dumber classes. Killing shorty future, I wonder how do we last it? Underground in their casket, ancestors turning. I'm learning something every day, there is no Lazarus. Words like God is Greek or Latin. So if you study Egypt, you'll see the truth written by the masters. My chilling, getting high, relaxing, envisioning, on it, yeah, it can happen. What if we own? Not enough land, not enough homes, not enough banks to give my brother a loan. What if we own? The skin on our backs, we rent and we ask for reparations, then they hit us with tax and insurance if we live to be old. What about now? So stop being controlled, we black zombies.
Walking, talking, dead, know we think we're living.
Black zombies.
We just copycat, following the system.
Black zombies.
Walking, talking dead, though we think we're living.
Black zombies,
we just copycat, following the system.
Black zombies. Hey yo, we trapped in our own brain. Behind bars, we've already gone insane. They've already gave up, cut our own heads off, stab our own backs and dream too much without fulfilling reality. Too greedy in, can't have one or two chains, we need three of them. Can't have one or two without squeezing them on our own people and black leaders, cause whites ain't got none leading them. The rhythm is cosmic, Nas is divinity, the deity's profitless. All get down and get up. Victims walk around with Down syndrome, all stuck, fainting, shouting, catching Holy Ghost in church. Scared to do it for ourselves, lest we see somebody doing it first. We beg, we prayed, petitioned, and demonstrated just to make another generation black zombies.
Walking, talking dead, know we think we're living.
Black zombies.
We just copycat, following the system.
Black zombies.
Walking, talking dead, know we think we're living.
Black zombies.
We just copycat, following the system.
Black zombies. Scared to be yourself, cause you in a trance. Feel free, hear the music and dance. If you care what they think, why wear what they wear, just for you. Dumb with long beards like the Arabs or Jews are from Israel. Bismillah, El Rahman, El Rahim. Islam's a beautiful thing. A Christian and Rastafari helps us to bring peace against the darkness, which is ungodly. So what's the black man's true religion? Who should we follow? Use your own intuition. You are tomorrow. That's the sound of the beast. I'm a Columbia record slave, so get paid. Control your own destiny. You are a genius. So let it happen to you like it did to me. Black I was zombie. A black zombie.
Walking, talking dead, though we think we're living.
Black zombie.
We just copycat, following the system.
Black zombie.
Walking, talking dead, though we think we're living.
Black zombie.
We just copycat, following the system.
Black zombies. Wake up. Black zombies in the spell for more than 400 years. Ghetto won't have it no more. Can I get a witness? While listening to somebody else tell you how to do it when you can do it yourself. It's all in you. Do it. Do it. Do it.
July 30th, 2008. Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program, blackcoffeechannel.com. Speaking of Nas, got an interview Nas did with the Wall Street Journal. I'm trying to find it. know where this thing is. But did anyone catch Nas on the Colbert show? Stephen Colbert. Thought it was hilarious. Nas did a good job. Hey, speaking of Nas, and speaking of black folks who are putting it down, doing for self, and not just in a ideological way, but in an entrepreneurial and professional way. Because this is one of the things I think has been missing from us revolutionary ideologues is love and respect for professionalism. You feel me? So when you shout down the bougie black professional middle class person, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. We need some of that professionalism. And I have professionals. No, I have nothing but love for you. Many of you are radical and revolutionaries. Spooks that are sitting by the door. And in case I have to prove my credentials on this again, maybe let me dust something off I have not hit your eardrums with in a while. Let me show you the love that the greatest of all, the messianic black economic nationalist, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, has for the black professional.
We're very happy to have such professional people as you with us this afternoon. We are the people who have respect and honor for all that visit us. And when the professional class of people visit us, we want you to know that we honor you and respect you for your visiting. We need you. We are not the people that know all. We are the people that would like to learn and let learn. This is the type of people that we need now to help us. Yes, to help us. We want all the professional class of people to come, join up with us, help put the job on. You have the type of help that we need. And we are working for you. Come in and help us to work for you. We are building everywhere something like signs of our work that we are doing in the name of divine. These people of this type of profession, I thank you. You are the one I want to talk with.
Beautiful. That's 1972. So my point in playing that from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad speaking on professional people is, you know, some of us go too far calling people bougie, middle class, elite. Well, damn it. Some of them bougie, middle class, elite people have skills that your black radical revolutionary ideological self never displays. So how about some unity? Because we all being burned economically. And that's why we have the Black Bank Initiative for Wealth Creation, Financial Literacy, and Community Development. But now let me get back to what I was saying. Everybody log on to politicalswagger.com. Politicalswagger.com. Do I have to spell that? P-O-L-I. Man, I need help my spell. Hold on, let me keep saying it until I spell it right. Politicalswagger.com. And I know some of you trust my judgment. So on the strength of me alone, you will check this site out, the splash page. It's coming soon. But if that's not enough, I know how some of us are. Let me bring someone else to the witness stand. Politicalswagger.com. Let me tell you how hot this is. Yeah, Swagger is S-W-A-G-G-E-R.
Hey, yo, what's up, y'all? This is Nas. I'm excited about this whole new thing right here. It's called Political Swagger. This is what it's up, man. I think this is the future. This is for us. This is what we need to be involved in, man. Politicalswagger.com. It's crazy.
Nas, one more time for the non-believers.
Hey, yo, what's up, y'all? This is Nas. I'm excited about this whole new thing right here. It's called Political Swagger. This is what it's up, man. I think this is the future. This is for us. This is what we need to be involved in, man. PoliticalSwagger.com. It's crazy.
Now, in case you missed this on some of the news wires last week, I want to read a release pertaining to this website coming soon. I believe it launches around the time of the Democratic Convention in Denver, which sounds like perfect timing to me. But let me give you a little flavor of exactly an intro into what you can expect. This release says Mos Def, Rakim, and De La Soul join Nas in support of a political website targeting young voters. Hip-hop legend Rakim, Mos Def, Pasta Noose of De La Soul, and Immortal Technique join Nas in support of a new political website geared towards young hip voters. It's called politicalswagger.com. Now, I can spell it PoliticalSwagger.com. PoliticalSwagger.com, where hip-hop meets politics. The announcement comes on the heels of what's being called the largest gathering of journalists of color, the Unity 08 Convention, held this past weekend in Chicago, July 23rd to 27th, with the theme, New Journalism for a Changing World. This is a quote from Tanya Styles, who's the founder, CEO of the movement. The website, PoliticalSwagger.com, T. Styles, she says, the political landscape of America has changed. Young voters for decades played a marginal role in electoral politics, but have now emerged as a new political force in the 2008 elections and are set to determine the next president of the United States. Hip hop has helped to shape the change that we see with young people and politics. So PoliticalSwagger.com, where hip hop meets politics, is the new journalism for the changing world, said Tanya Styles, former television producer, news producer and founder of PoliticalSwagger.com. And she is a friend of mine, intelligent sister. She merges beauty and fashion well, and professionalism. So check out the splash page for PoliticalSwagger.com. I'm going to read more of this press release a little later. I can't think of a better person that embodies what I just got done preaching on, which is professionalism, do for self ideology, and hipness. You know, because some of us that are professional and have the right ideology are boring. Boring as hell. That's not Tanya Styles, and that's not PoliticalSwagger.com. In case you missed it, let me give you a little taste of Nas, who endorses PoliticalSwagger.com. Here he is being interviewed by Steve Colbert.
My guest tonight is a streetwise, multi-platinum gangster rapper who has glorified violence and has been known to carry a gun. Oh, I will lob softballs. Please welcome Nas! Please sit down. I don't know if you know what that kind of adulation is like, but I hope you get it someday.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Thank you for coming. I hope we can keep this civil.
I hope so.
I know that you and my idol, Papa Bear Bill O'Reilly, have had some rough times in the past, but I hope I can speak for him tonight. We are sitting on, literally, these 20 crates are the petition that you brought to Fox News, unless this is the Starbucks petition. Is that it?
No, this is not the
this
Starbucks.
This is the 620,127 signatures.
Yeah.
Why do you think that Fox News is racist? That's a terrible thing to say. It's Fox and Friends, not Fox and racists.
I mean, it's obvious. Everybody that has eyes and ears can see that this guy is out of control. He knows what he's doing, you know what I mean? It's out of line, and the things he's saying is worse than the worst rap lyrics I ever heard, the things he says.
O'Reilly,
yeah.
Oh,
Papa Bear.
May I quote you? May I quote you from your own song, Oh Really O'Reilly?
That's right.
He's just spitting the truth.
Nah, he's getting out of hand, man. He's going too far.
You challenged him to a debate.
Yeah.
Why a debate? Why not a freestyle rap contest? Is it because you know he drops rhymes like atom bombs, writing ROMs and collecting blondes and Rolexes on his arms?
Oh my God.
You afraid of O'Reilly?
I think O'Reilly's afraid of me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He said that you had a criminal gun possession. Is that true?
That's very
true.
How
long ago was that?
I was about 17, 18 years old.
Some things cannot be forgiven, sir.
Hey, but you know what I wanted to know? How did the guns wind up in my neighborhood? Guns that said made in Israel, made in Austria. How did they wind up in my neighborhood?
It's called the free market, sir, supply and demand. You must have wanted one.
Well, we need a show on that. We need a show on that, not about the music that talks about what happened in my community, you know what I mean? Not mm-hmm. about the songs we sing about the reality of our world, not that. You know, we need a show on how do these guns get there? Why is there so much violence in our community?
So you're claiming that singing about guns and violence
singing
does not cause guns and violence.
Singing about
That's
life.
That's your claim.
Singing about life in those hard situations is the reality, man.
Well, it may be reality, but don't you think talking about these things makes it worse?
I mean,
I certainly blame Bing Crosby for White Christmas every time it snows.
Hey, But you know what? The music is one thing. To live it is something else. So at least people can hear it from,
let's talk
know,
about living it and let's talk about music.
Point of view.
Your album.
And I'm not a gangster rapper.
Just You're not?
Just for the record.
Well, it'd be okay with you if I just keep saying you are? Because that's a much easier thing. Because I understand the gangster rap.
I can call you a gangster host. That's a pretty mafioso suit you're wearing.
Thank you very much, sir. I am a gangster host. And I will pop the truth in your ass. You got a new album. It's untitled. I understand you wanted a title, but you couldn't get the title you wanted.
Yeah.
Why couldn't you get the title you not wanted?
I mean, the title scares people. The title is a word that has a horrific origination. It has a history to it that is terrible, but it's a word that's around. It's a word that's in the street. It's a word
I certainly don't want to say the word.
Thank you.
You know what? I'll just say it backwards. Reagan.
Reagan. There's nothing wrong with Reagan.
Reagan, please.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
Yeah. But see, I could say it and I could talk about it because it's a word that we took and flipped around. And I can say it.
Well, talk about flipping it. Will you stick around and do one of your little ditties?
Absolutely.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Nas. We'll be right back.
Hey, yo, what's up, y'all? This is Nas. I'm excited about this whole new thing right here. It's called Political Swagger. This is what it's up, man. I think this is the future. This is for us. This is what we need to be involved in, man. PoliticalSwagger.com. It's crazy.
July 30th of 2008. Hit you with Nas's live performance on the Colbert Show, Colbert Report. Send in your comments. I'm going to read some now. Talking about the black-owned bank, or I'd say the Black Bank Initiative. Will you open up a black-owned bank or start an investment club? That's what we're trying to encourage here. Natasha has accurate information. I read the thing wrong. She says that program she was referring to in Miami runs from January 9th through June 2010. She's complaining about our 300-word limit. It's too short for her. And she says, you are right. We need to put our money where our mouth is and all the hard work has been done for us. And now I said out loud, I wonder if Senator Obama has 10% of his $300 million that he's raised in a black-owned bank. You know what? I would not be surprised if he does. As a matter of fact, I kind of think he does. I'm just guessing. And what I'm suggesting is, you know, who's more revolutionary? The black person with $500 and none of it in a black-owned bank, or the black man with $300 million who might have 10% in a black-owned bank. You see what I'm suggesting? Brother Vernon from Columbia, Maryland, he says, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Cedric. I checked the BBI site last week. Great work. I want to get a club started in my family. Any guidance you can give? It's hard to get people, Negroes, to make that move. Brother Vernon, wa alaikum salam. Look at some of the resources that are listed in our investment bank section, and they'll tell you how to set up an account. And I do agree you should try to start with your family. Try to start something on a weekly basis or monthly basis, something small. If you have young people in the family, something that they can do, maybe $1 a week or something like that. Set a contribution level that perhaps suits the person's income level. But there's a lot of links that we have that you can check out. Brother Vernon says, I feel you, brother. Is it preferable to concentrate on the people who are local and physically close to you? Or would it be more viable to connect with people across the nation that may be more willing to take decisive action to pool resources and invest or build together? Now, let me say yes to both, because you have some haters, envious and jealous people around you, suspicious people. You have to watch out for them. And you may actually have affinity with someone across the country. I mean, look at Rod Guignard and Natasha from Miami. He's in California, she's in Miami, and they have never disagreed. Shane from Houston, Ron R. Texas, he says, I'm going to set up an account with One United Bank. Okay, Shane, go through our page. We don't get any money from that, but at least the traffic. I want One United Bank to know and feel the power of our nation. I get no money, though. I'll be very clear. I think that would be illegal, by the way. Eleazar from Brooklyn, he likes my hour number two intro. The combination of Malcolm's speech of the Valley of Dry Bones and Nas's Black Zombies. He says it is very well put together. Keenan from The Shy. Keenan, am I off of Aroma probation? Kenan, as you know, is my brother when it comes to mixing the oils. He's not big on mixing, but when I told him I had mixed China Musk, Cool Water, Blue Nile, and Cocoa Mango, he wrote me a citation about two shows ago. Kenan from Chicago says, peace, Brother Cedric. Excellent intro, brother. That says unity to me, and I enjoyed it. I was speaking with a member of CROW, the Coalition for the Remembrance of Elijah, about Brother Malcolm, and she was stuck on negative rather than the truth. That intro followed by Nas is like pie with the ice cream. Thank you, brother. LAZAR says, what were your thoughts on the CNN special Being Black in America? Thank you, LAZAR, for giving me an opportunity to let you know that I did not watch that program. It's queued up, but I wasn't going to sit there and endure the corporate Caucasian confessional that racism exists. I have DVR'd it, but I did not watch it. I was not going to let CNN dictate my agenda. I have heard mixed reviews. Some people said it was good. Other people told me it was dry. But for some reason, I just didn't feel pressed to watch it, although I have it queued up. Thank you. Ra Ginyar. He says Elijah Muhammad on that clip sounds eerily like Nelson Mandela. He says, I thought that's who that was. By the way, can you give a spelling of Chris Villarreal's name? He spelled it the Philippine way. Maybe she is Philippine mixing. I don't know. It's Chris Valor. Hold on. I wrote it down. Chris Valerio has the look. This is the sister. I assume she's Latino, but maybe she's Philippine mix. I don't know. She's still one of the darker people, one of the darker nations. Chris Valerio, C-R-I-S-V-A-L-E-R-I-O. You can check her out Bloomberg every morning. Actually, she does the whole day. She has the look. Ra Ginyar says that the logo is awesome on politicalswagger.com, but the music is conflicting with your show. Well, thank you, brother. You know what to do now. And Brother Vernon says, from your mouth to my ears, brother, don't take it lightly. I never would, brother. I love the truth. I love the source of the truth. And I love the people to whom the truth is directed. So I would take your question very seriously. Natasha from Miami says, you got to love Colbert. Nas did a very good job in handling the entire petition delivery event. Kudos to whoever got Colbert in the loop to accept the petition. All right, let me ask you about our second cup of coffee topic here, which is, are beauty and fashion the same? Are beauty and fashion the same? Let me read this article from Muhammad Speaks, April 1962. Then I'm going to play a clip and then we can get it popping. Are fashion and beauty the same? It says here, fashion is seasonal, but beauty is eternal. Beauty and fashion as we know it are often confused. It would seem that the desire of most women is to be admired for her beauty. So we see the result in the mad, indiscriminate dash for fashion. What is vogue this season? Are the new skirts long or short? Is the little boy or the little girl look in? Is it flare, sheath, something or trapeze, tucks or ruffles? A short haircut or a full-blown green wig? Let us question for a moment, what is going to make us beautiful? All black women are endowed with the basic material for a true beauty. A mind, heart, and body already fashioned by the perfect creator. We have only to develop them to their fullest beauty, not distort or disregard them so much that they change seasonally with Paris. That's Paris, France. You may argue that the mind does not enter into it, but it certainly does. What frame of mind would a woman who has the little boy or free and easy look have? You do not need fashion. You're a black woman. Need only a few basic rules to follow to be beautiful. Cleanliness, internally and externally at all times. For cleanliness is next to godliness. Modesty is a woman's most valuable asset. It makes her far more noticeable and interesting than does the frequently almost naked fashion that we see in the streets daily. Last but not least, naturalness. Beautiful without makeup. You, the black woman, are beautiful without the cakes of makeup you have been wrongly taught to wear. Every feature of your face is clearly defined without accenting them. You were born with the right color hair to match your beautiful skin. Strawberry, blonde, and bottle green does not complement your skin color the way your natural hair does. Dress to accent your femininity. Don't let anyone change your perfectly designed body by making you pear-shaped one season and S-shaped the next. remember, you are a woman, and femininity is your key to real beauty. Think that over. I want you all to send in your thoughts, your comments, male and female. I'm going to play this from the BET special Fashion Blackout. Again, we're asking the question, are fashion and beauty the same?
For the spring shows, models of color were noticeably absent from the catwalks, enforcing the ideal that white girls with blonde hair are still the ultimate image of beauty. Runway stylist Keith Brewster is one of many taking a stand this season against blatant racial discrimination in the fashion industry.
It has gone on season after season after season because the same people who are in charge continually only look for one black face or two maximum.
As the stylist for designer Ruben Singer, he cast several black models, hoping to set an example for other designers to follow.
You'll see more black models today than you probably will see in most shows, but that's because I'm very conscious about it, and it's time that we address the situation.
I went to a lot of castings, and I kind of see it still hasn't shifted to the more diverse assortment of girls being chosen. It's kind of still the Eastern European.
Everyone else looks the same. Me and a couple of models were talking about this, but the black models, we all look so different, and we differentiate from everybody else. The bone structure's different. We have to fight, so that's just the way things are.
I've been here 2 weeks so far. I went to a couple of agencies and they looked at me and said, oh, we have so many black models. We already have a girl that looks like you. And I'm like, you have 150 girls that are white. They all look the same, probably. Sorry, I'm saying that. But why is it that you have two girls and you think every black girl looks the same?
Yeah, it's amazing. Amazing, amazing. Did it. You should have heard me out there. I was like, go. That was ghetto fabulous. I was out there taking pictures like a father. Like, look at my girls. Look at my girls running through here.
Dude, it's like catching a bunch of gazelles. Y'all are running so quick. I was just like, let me get all my chocolate girls.
They're all here.
Good job, man. We gonna do it this year, man.
Even Tracy Reese has to request that black models be sent to her castings.
The agencies don't always send the black girls on the castings in the first place. We definitely make a request.
Well, as a black model, it's just always going to be a bit more difficult. There aren't as many spaces in the shows, you know. A designer might only put one black girl per show, if any. And many times there aren't any black girls, especially if you're in Europe. If you're in Paris or Milan or London, it doesn't necessarily have to be any African American. So I think that's the biggest challenge. It's just trying to get out there and get in.
Black girls don't go on the casting. They're definitely not going to get booked for the shows. On the other hand, you know, that top tier of black models, there are three, the agencies withhold them because they want to keep them, you know, just in those 5 to 10 top big shows. So I don't have a chance at, you know, the top tier black models because I'm more of a middle tier show. It's kind of sad.
It's 2008. Barack Obama is making history in his run for the White House. Many black Americans are reaching professional heights once thought impossible. The diversity of America is becoming clearer and clearer. So why hasn't the fashion industry followed suit?
But boy, agencies get so much rejection by being told, no, we're not using any blacks. No, we're not using any. I'm sorry, no black models. No, I'm sorry, she's not right for us.
I've had editors tell me that no blacks, no Asians. It's a very common one. So you'll get the breakdown of the casting and it'll be printed out, no blacks, no Asians. So they're pretty blunt sometimes.
Black style has always been so very, very pivotal to American culture.
There was a time in Europe where people like Yves Saint Laurent, people like Givenchy would use a number, and not even just one, a number of black models.
The minute that Africans were put in boats and shipped across the borders as cargo, as human cargo, around the world, particularly America's slaves, they brought with them the tradition, the culture, the nobility, the elegance, the prestige, the ancestry, the spirituality, and the beauty of blackness.
The models of the 60s broke barriers, paving the way with style, glamour, and attitude. The 70s proved black was truly beautiful. By the 80s and 90s, it seemed that black models were becoming accepted worldwide. countless girls reach superstar status on the catwalks, magazine covers, and fashion spreads. They even landed lucrative cosmetic contracts.
Loved models like Veronica Webb. I loved watching Beverly Peel. I loved seeing these beautiful girls on the runway. Yasmin. There were so many. And I took it for granted, I think. I think I just thought that it was always going to be like that.
When I was working as an editor at Women's Wear Daily, subsequently Elle Magazine, then at the New York Times, when Beth Ann had her own agency, we were able to make choices.
If we had never had it before, then, you know, I wouldn't sweat it. But we've had it before.
But do the Europeans that run the image industry have the eye to define black beauty?
In the 90s, there was a shift towards grunge fashion and Seattle-based, you know, fashion that created a movement, a certain type of look, and that wasn't really an ethnically diverse look. And then I think that sort of segued into British stylists coming in and pushing their idea of fashion. And I would say the late 90s, early, you know, 2001, 2002, it started to change and become more solidified, where the girls sort of disappeared, the girls of color on the runway.
It was about sameness. And so a certain group of ethnic women from Middle Europe became the stars, and people forgot about other members of the rainbow.
Unfortunately, the white eye doesn't understand black beauty.
These days, when you have people like Marc Jacobs at Louis Vuitton, in France, people like Nicolas Gasquet at Balenciaga, people like Miuccia Prada at Prada. These are the leaders. These people are at the vanguard of fashion. If they're not using black models, it's going to trickle down, and the other designers are not going to use black models either.
I think there's three or four very important magazine editors working in that tower on Times Square who pretty much dictate the future of fashion. And those people have enormous power, because the people that they choose to feature on the pages of those magazines end up defining the look of the season and the look of the moment.
From body shape to skin tone, black models are having a hard time fitting in and getting jobs.
Another thing that designers have a problem with is the body of a black girl. The body of a black girl competitively cannot compete with that Eastern European body. These people haven't eaten for generations, three, four generations. I mean, come on. So the... Well, that's the truth. So, of course, generation-wise, people are very lean. It's very hard to compete with that kind of alignment. That's why the Western African girl works more, because she has narrow, narrow hips.
We've seen a lot of these girls have very skinny bodies that fit the clothing that designers make in sample sizes very well. So if designers are making a size 0 or 2 for a sample size, these Russian girls, you can put a dress on them and it just falls perfectly.
You go into the casting already knowing that you're not being seen as a new girl. You're being seen as a black model, and that's all they really see is color.
I totally do not understand that, because as black people, we buy clothes from the same designers. We want to wear good stuff from them. So why don't they give us opportunity to do shows? Why? I think we are very beautiful people.
With black women in the United States spending approximately $20 billion on apparel each year, it's hard to believe that designers are still shutting out black models from ad campaigns and runways.
As black people, we run out and we go buy the Louis Vuittons and all these other companies that are hitting you with the hot stuff, you know. But what you're not realizing, pick up a Vogue magazine, pick up a Marie Claire. How many black images are you seeing there?
We have to be conscious of the fact that we are a buying power. As a black community, we support these companies who are not using black faces. And I say, if you don't see yourself in those clothing, then don't support it.
I would watch like rappers going out there and making songs and tooting up Gucci and Chanel, and I get annoyed about that, because I said, why would you support them when they don't support us?
I think it's very important we have dialogue like we have it now. We point it out, and we don't stand for it as much as we can make a change.
I don't think people understand how it feels when we go to these shows and we don't see ourselves represented, but we truly support these brands financially by buying their clothes. It's not a true representation of what's going on, you know, in the world as far as the consumer.
Former model Kamora Lee Simmons makes sure her baby fat show represents her consumer by consistently casting models of color. She hopes her actions will inspire other designers.
But other people look at color as more of a trend.
Right.
Is it trendy this season? Are we going to do it this season? Is there one token black girl or one token Asian girl? And for me, it's more of a way of life. So I think I hopefully will infuse that into other people to know that it's about, color is fabulous all the time. It's, the world is multi-ethnic and multicultural.
July 30th, 2008, Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program, blackcoffeechannel.com. All right, y'all burning it up with the comments. L.A.'s all from Brooklyn. It says, many of us have shown great tolerance throughout our stay here in America, accepting racism, trying to build our own commerce and educational facilities, but many barbarous, Babbitt black folks subject us to captious interrogation about our inspiration to be great. How do we separate ourselves from people like that when they have large amounts and resources of capital? I'm going to play something for you that will tell you how to do that. How do you separate yourself from people who have a mass amount of resources? This is how you do it. You got to control your own mind. Speak to him, Napoleon.
And now I shall give you the first cue as to the nature of the great master key, which has been responsible for all the great successes in every calling, in every part of the world. Please listen carefully to what I have to say, because you may discover the secret of the master key in this first visit. You may get your first cue as to the nature of the great master key when I tell you that psychologists have discovered a natural law which is the very foundation of all personal successes. And I can describe it to you in one short sentence so you can understand it. Whatever the mind can conceive and believe, the mind can achieve.
That's it right there for you, Brother Eleazar. Natasha is talking about the people with black money in a shoebox and under a mattress rather than an investment club or in some gold or some land or a black-owned bank. Brother Aaron from Nashville, he says, peace, we are the children of the Most High, so our abilities are unlimited. Self-improvement is what we must continue on building and keep building. We must become knowers and creative thinkers in this time now. We got to become doers too, Brother Aaron, which I know you agree with. Because I think we know and create a lot, but we don't follow through. We do not have operational unity. We do not have follow through. And we don't believe in holding people accountable and applying what it is we say we know and have created or believe. We don't maintain what we create, and we don't use wisdom, which is the wise application of our understanding and knowledge. That's kind of like where I'm at right now. I deal with a lot of people who know a lot and who are creative in thought, but they don't have willpower. They don't know principles of operational unity. They're not reliable or consistent, although I think they're sincere. Deion Turner from Los Angeles, he says, Assalamu alaikum, play the clip again, brother, just coming in the door. I hope all is well. Your brother. What clip, Brother Deion? Wa alaikum salam. I hope you're all right in Los Angeles. That's just a preview of what's coming, Brother Deion. I'm going to read a scary article called The Shaking by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He wrote about the future of California. I don't want to scare y'all yet, though. Natasha says, often what black males say they think is truly beautiful differs from who they have relations with or partner with. Many black men, especially as they come of age, gravitate or lust after the fashion or the in-fashion chick. Then as they grow older, they eventually find their way back to what is beautiful. Natasha from Miami says, when I was rocking an afro, I was called beautiful on a regular basis without any overt come-ons from men. But when I had my hair blonde, it was the opposite, with a constant overt and overly suggestive assault of come-ons, but few beautiful comments. This is a perfect example of fashion versus beauty, because my features never changed. I had to give Tasha from Miami a standing ovation. Beautiful example. The difference between fashion and beauty. Eleazar from Brooklyn, he says, I think they're both the same, because an unattractive person can wear something fashionable and be considered as attractive. The same goes with hair. If my hair is too low, I look a bit hideous. If my hair is grown along with a nice 5 o'clock shadow, I look sexy as hell. This is confusing. Natasha from Miami says, did you see all the Black Italian Vogue magazine with All Black Italian Vogue magazine. They use nothing but black models in that issue and discuss the lack of black models in ads, etc. In the advertising world, especially in television ads, you often find the typical fashion trend fad type of black models for ads for black audiences, and you see more non-typically beautiful blacks with pronounced ethnic features in ads for white audiences. The body of black girls is not typical of real black models, i.e. Naomi and Tyra in her prime, the current girl used for Victoria's Secret. But if you look at black models in terms of the video chicks, a la ethnicity models, these are often not high fashion body types, hence why they work in videos and pose for King Magazine. Standing ovation for King Magazine. I'm just kidding. Rod Ginyar says, Chris Valerio is Latino, and I don't think she has the look, but she's close to having it. Without knowing what Natasha physically looks like, in my mind, she has the look, based solely on her amazing intellect and communicative delivery, even though men are visual, intellect matters heavily. Chris Valerio of Bloomberg News does have the look, and she has diction. You should, when you hear her talk, Rod, you'll probably cross over to my view, and you hear her intellect and communicative delivery. I'm going to weigh in on fashion and beauty at the end of the show. I like what L.A. Czar said. I've seen sisters who can enhance their natural beauty with fashion. I know a ton of sisters like that. However, I know a lot of sisters who think they are not beautiful unless they have the in fashion. So, Rod Ginyard says, this may come out of the blue for me, but I think Cindy McCain is one step away from exploding on the next person that asks her or her husband an edgy question. She is one uptight woman. Cindy McCain looks not to be messed with. I like how she comes in after her husband to speaking events. You'll see how she walks behind him. And she does give you a look like, I don't really want to be here, and I don't think you really want to bother me. Standing ovation to Cindy McCain. How many of you have a family reunion coming up and you're thinking about turning that family reunion into an investment club or rotating credit and savings association boardroom meeting? Let me read you something from the blackownedbank.com website, the official website of the Black Bank Initiative. I'll give you a little history. Some of this is from my forthcoming book, The Science of Business, the book that has more dates than Muslims on Ramadan. Let me read this to you. Let me connect the investment clubs to our rich heritage. Just a little taste. Talk about Yoruba culture. A.K. Ajisafe says, talking about the Isusu. Well, let me go to the top here. Rotating savings and credit associations have existed in many forms and many names for hundreds of years. Their legacy in African and Caribbean culture is rich. From the book Ethnic Enterprise in America by Ivan H. Light, we read the following from a section called Isusu in Africa, Britain, and the Americas. Anthropological research has documented the existence of rotating credit associations in many parts of Africa, including West Africa, from which the progenitors of African or American Negroes were abducted as slaves. Although the details of administration and organization differ substantially among African regions and peoples, the essential rotating credit principle is ubiquitous. However, one such rotating credit institution, the Nigerian Isusu, is of especial importance here because of its historical influence on Negro business in the Americas. The Isusu developed in southeastern Nigeria among the Yoruba people. Among the Yoruba's northern neighbors, the Nupe, or Nupi, the rotating credit association is known as Dashi, but the Nupe's custom differs little from the Yoruba's. The antiquities of Isusus has not yet been fully established, but researchers are of the opinion that the custom was indigenously African. Certainly the Yoruba Isusu exists as early as 1843, for it is mentioned in a Yoruba vocabulary of that date. In Sierra Leone, thrift clubs of some sort existed as early as 1794, but they cannot be positively identified as organized on the rotating credit principle. Let me explain what it is. This is from A.K. Ajisafe. It says, there is a certain society called Isusu. This society deals with monetary matters only, and it helps its members to save and raise money this way. Every member shall pay a certain fixed sum of money regularly at a fixed rate or fixed time, say every fifth or ninth day, and one of the subscribing members shall take the total amount thus subscribed for his or her own personal use. The next subscription shall be taken by another member, and this so shall continue rotationally until every member has taken. In the principle of pooling funds and rotating the pot among the membership, the Yoruba Isusu does not differ from either of its Oriental counterparts. However, in common practice, it exhibits some idiosyncrasies. I'm gonna let you all look into that. But what about you and some of your friends getting together the fifth of every month? You know what I mean? And instead of drinking and smoking and gossiping, instead of watching Margarito Coto, instead of hanging out, getting into arguments over who's the greatest rapper and who's gonna win the Super Bowl, you say, hey, look, man, I got 25 right here, man. I can come every month, put 25 on the table. We got so much love and trust in each other because we built that up, that we're gonna allow each one of us to take that pot or hit us with a business plan that's worthy of the pot. And we're gonna let you ride up out of here with that money. No paperwork, just the full faith and credit and trust of our brother and sisterhood. This is going on, folks, every day in Jamaican communities, West African communities, Chinese communities, Mexican communities, and in Jewish communities. It's going on with the Jewish Free Loan Societies. When is it going to happen with the AKAs? The Bloods and the Crips. Maybe the local PTA. Maybe the folks that work at Sirius Radio. All the black people at Sirius Radio. What about them starting a rotating credit and savings association? Anyway, you can get more background on investment clubs and this institution in the investment club section of the Black Bank Initiative, www.blackownedbank.com. If you're about it, want to open up an account online, we have Add Up at blackelector.com and blackcoffeechannel.com. You can go through, open up an account online at One United Bank. Or if you are looking for a commercial bank in your community, we have a listing of bank locations. The top 25 black-owned banks, according to Black Enterprise, we have their name, whether they bank online, their branch main office, the physical address, the city, state, zip code, telephone, and branch manager's name. Hopefully that means no excuse, but I don't know. Let me read some of your comments before we go into hour number three. I still want to finish this article from the Chicago Defender about black-owned banks. And I read an article from the April 1962 edition of Muhammad Speaks called "Are Fashion and Beauty the Same?" I say I'm going to wait to give my view. We're going to talk about global trade talks in hour number four, what's going on in Africa. We'll mix it all in. I'm going to play Nas's live performance on the Colbert Show where he ripped it. And next hour, we're going to get into McCain Obama stuff. I believe Barack Obama is banking black on the low. Brother Dion wants to hear my hour number two intro. He thinks it's Nas with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad speaking, the one that sounded like Mandela. So Brother Dion is thoroughly mixing together different streams of thought. But he says he's doing fine after the earthquake. Maybe not by that email. We couldn't tell. LAZR from Brooklyn, he says, black people trying to keep up with the Joneses. It's sad that black folks think if they purchase expensive things, they would be considered as the same as white folks. They do not realize that there is a caste system in the fashion industry. LAZR, again, on point. While I agree with many things on that fashion blackout excerpt that we played from BET, some strong points were made. I didn't like, it's a common theme that somehow the definition of beauty is defined by other people, and then we strive and cry and discriminate, pardon me, and protest discrimination that keeps us from showing that we're equal to that definition or standard. If you looked at some of these sisters, They're starving themselves. Their haircut is the same as the Eastern European model. So my point is it really an honor to be considered a top-of-the-line European runway model and fashion queen if you're just being molded into the image of an Eastern European woman who does not eat? Having said that, there is something progressive about what you heard P. Diddy and Russell say and Kimora Simmons and their stance relative to that community. Brother Vernon has a blog talk radio program. He gives the address. I'm going to read this. Let me do it right now. Let me do it right now. Brother Vernon says, I forgot to tell you and let you know that my internet radio show is up and running. Check me out on Saturday at 4:30 p.m. If you can't be there, the live shows are archived. Let me know what you think. Brother Vernon's show, everybody, is www.blogtalkradio.com. www.blogtalkradio.com/thehighroad. That's THE-HIGH-ROAD. Brother Vernon, congratulations. He's doing it. Thank you, Cameron, Patterson, New Jersey. I'm trying to promote this black-owned bank thing. 2 years in waiting. We've got hundreds of people signed up who need to be contacted. I understand our working group is making outreach. You can still sign up and register for the black-owned bank movement on the register section on that website, okay? I want to just suggest something. I'm not saying go to Wachovian Bank of America and take your money out and put it in a black-owned bank. No, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, wouldn't it be nice if the reparations activists who ran up on J.P. Morgan and Wachovia and several of these banks that got their money in the early days from slavery, wouldn't it be nice if they had threatened to say we're going to take our money out and put it in a black-owned bank? But rather than doing that, rather than giving a payback, some of the activists took shakedown money. I'm not going to call no names. But man, it's a hell of a thing to just say what you are against. How about saying what you're for? How about saying if you're not going to deal with this issue of these major banks getting money from slavery from Providence, Rhode Island, New York, Philadelphia, and South Carolina, the get back that we need is, I want my money, I'm going to put it in a black-owned bank. Big Gill did that. I know somebody that took money out of Wachovia and put it in a black-owned bank in D.C. Speak to him, James Brown. Tell him how it's done, my brother.
Blackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com. Cedric Muhammad on the Black Coffee Channel. Don't want me to
Bible says it is with the mind that we serve the Lord. It is with the mind that we serve the Lord. The mind is the battleground. It is the place where the greatest conflict is. There are more people in this room having trouble in their mind than there are people having trouble in their finances. The struggle is in your mind. This is why we have people who go to bed tired and wake up tired. Slept 8 hours and you wake up still tired. The reason you wake up tired is that you got sleep but you didn't get rest. Your mind has been in turmoil all night long. You've been wrestling in your sleep. Have you ever woke up and your bed was wet? The bed is all torn, just like you've been in a fight, because your mind has not rested. Your body went to sleep, but your mind is still caught up in a warfare. Your mind is the battleground. Catch somebody and tell them the enemy's after your mind. Out to worry you to death, out to stress you to death, out to break you down, out to make you quit, out to make you think that you can't get up, out to make you give up on your dream. The warfare is in your mind. It's not in your checkbook. It's not in your savings account. It's not on your job. The fight that you got to fight is in your mind. And if you whip it in your head, you can whip it in your checkbook. You can whip it on your job. You can whip it out of your children. But you gotta cry. Get out of your head.
Bishop Jakes, I'm feeling you on that. If you would just control your mind and we would do it collectively, we'd be able to take care of a lot of business. Someone gets in your mind, they get into your heart, and they get into your pocketbook. That's why the money leaves the black community. Hour number three, let's go.